The Apostle Paul wrote to a young man, and the young man was a timid fellow. Now we've heard of the smashing and the getting rid of Volkswagens, which is not all a shame. That's one less slow one on the hills. We have heard how the love of God has penetrated hearts, and a heart in particular, that had a crust on it, and the breaking down of the crust. And I heard some people whisper, "Praise the Lord." Isn't that lovely? Yeah. We heard how you can look out, and between the sea and the sky, you can see a brightness. Most of us go through times when it looks as if there is no brightness. In fact, it's absolutely devastating to look out. There's nothing to look to, nothing to look forward to. But the beauty of the Lord Jesus is that he gives us the power, for he lights a light within our heart, and we see clearly. The good news is that people loving Christ our Lord are people that are privileged to have the power within them and do have light, and do have ability, and can walk toward that light. Timothy was a timid fellow. It's not a play on words, Timothy meaning timid. It doesn't mean timid at all. But he was a fellow filled with timidity, and he needed to be encouraged. I don't know how you are, but there are times when I need to be encouraged, because, believe it or not, I find myself very often not so much shy, but awfully timid. And so I just encourage you, if you want to read with me, from the second letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 1. As Bernice so graciously said, sometimes these first chapters are a little laborious. But here we discover it's not laborious after this first verse at all. In fact, even that verse is filled with the Lord Jesus and the presence of Jesus. He says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as day and night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but the spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Nersiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved with civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It's of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of God. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with the foolish and stupid arguments, because they know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women, who are loaded down with sins and swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds, who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, and sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am ready, already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Is that beautiful? Paul writing from his heart to a young man. Just one little word. And I would like to share this with you. He says, all Scripture, verse 16 of chapter 3, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for through faith in Christ. Sorry, and is faithful for useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. And I feel that the Spirit of God, Jesus, breathed upon the disciples. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. And he breathed upon them. And the Word of God that was flesh breathed upon his disciples. And as he breathed upon them, the Word became renewed in them. And the Scripture became written as they became like pens writing the Scripture. How precious it is. I was arrested by the verse that I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'm not ashamed because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Whatever could I entrust to my Lord? The rest of my life. The rest of my eternity. What have you entrusted to your Lord? Have you ever taken time to realize you have entrusted to your Lord the rest of your eternity? And then verse 13 of chapter 1. What you heard of me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Then he says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit. What deposit was given is given to a saint, is given to a believer? The presence of Jesus. The deposit is the promise of God. You have received him. Then now you trust him. This is your deposit. Eternity will begin with Jesus. There's one other piece that I just wanted to share with you. After he has mentioned the fact that he is chained and the word of God is not chained, and Bill Collins was pointing that out as they distributed 55,000 scriptures and a few more. 55,000 is an enormous amount as he distributed them to people one way or another. The word of God is not chained, not chained at all. After he has said that, he says, keep reminding people of these things. Verse 14 of the second chapter. Warn people before God against quarreling about words. Sometimes we'll take up a word quarrel. There are some people, if you don't ask the right questions, you sure don't get any straight answers. They bandy with words. It's a game. And the apostle says, Timothy, don't do that. Let your yea be yea and your nay nay. Speak up. Speak out. Get it over and done with. And then he uses the illustration. There are many articles in a house. Some are very noble and some are ignoble. Whatever you do, keep them all in their right place. And last of all, there will be terrible times in the last days. Have you noticed how terrible the times are? Have you noticed how awful they are? There is a catalogue. A catalogue of horror. And the apostle says, but we must suffer. So you, Timothy, do the work of a good soldier. And the very last of all, the sixth verse of the fourth chapter, I am already being poured out like a drink offering. I'm already being poured out. Sometimes I feel that my life is spinning wheels. Do you ever feel like that? And sometimes I feel that I'm not accomplishing anything. Frightened, as I've mentioned once or twice before, of being like a missionary I once knew who in his 70s died. And one of the last words he said was, I've wasted my life. Terrified that such a thought pattern would enter into my thinking. We have to remember, we're a poured out offering. It doesn't matter what we think. So long as we're poured out, it doesn't matter how we're abused. So long as we're poured out, it doesn't matter how we're misunderstood. So long as we're poured out, it doesn't matter. What people say, it doesn't matter what people think. So long as our lives are poured out. A dear young friend of mine of years ago died when she was only 31 years old. And she died horribly of cancer. Yet from the day she was converted to the day of her death, she packed more into her life. It was approximately a 10 or 12 year span. She packed more into her life than most of us do who have lived to 70 and 80. She had led more to the Lord. She had become a blessing to scores. She had longed to be a greater blessing to many others. And when she died, about all we could say of her, she was like an offering poured out. Another woman in my life who loved me as a teenager, had three teenagers of her own at the time. Her husband gone, poured her life out into a group of teenagers in our church. And as far as I'm concerned, made sure that this person didn't turn in the wrong way. And at 52, she died of cancer also. It was kind of shocking to realize that she had poured out her life for 40 or so teenagers in a church. Where would we all scatter to? And I was mortified, in a sense, recently visiting England to discover that few of those men and women are serving their Lord. Yet her life was poured out. That we might serve the Lord, but it didn't matter if we didn't, in a sense, so long as we understood her life for Jesus was poured out. You might say, what a waste. No. Listen to the apostle. I fought a good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. It must be very gratifying to an athlete who takes off his boxing gloves and says at the end of a fight, that was a good one. And Paul says, I finished this round. I finished. I fought a good fight. The devil didn't get too much from me, and I was able to really bash him. I've finished the race. I was never an athlete in races. I could never understand losing all that puff for nothing. For the accolade of a man patting me on the back or somebody applauding, I couldn't imagine getting my heart to race at that speed. It seems so pointless to chase another person, especially if I couldn't get in front of them. So I was never an athlete in that sense. Well, I used to put the shot and throw the javelin. That was okay, because I could usually win. So if I could win, I would do it. It's about what Paul says. I finished the race. I ran and won. There were times when I didn't think I'd finish. There were times when my puff was almost gone. There were times when I couldn't bear the thought of another person in front of me, and then suddenly I was in the front. Suddenly there was the tape. Suddenly I was winning. Suddenly I could make it a few more steps. I won. I finished the race. I kept the faith. I continued to believe in Jesus. I think Job is the greatest example of this. Though they slay me, yet will I praise him. I know my Redeemer is alive, he says. And now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not me only, but all who have longed for his appearing. Do you long for the appearing of Jesus? In the first service today, I was arguing with the Lord what I should preach about. Right up until I came into this auditorium, I was having a little argument with the Holy Spirit. I really didn't want to speak about what I was going to speak about. And I was trying not to speak about it. And I said something like this, Lord, just give me proof that you want me to speak about this. Greg Jones stood up and sang about the Lord's coming. It was so right. It was so complete. Absolutely. Last Monday, in the evening, I just led in prayer. And as I was praying, I was led by the Spirit of God to consider the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as all the pastors were together, it seemed that we were centering our attention and affection on the Lord Jesus. And as we did, it was very beautiful. And I don't think I'm certainly not boasting of a prayer. I don't think I'm misleading you in any way. Tom and Janva stood up, and Janva announced the first thing that we were going to sing. And it was just all about the Lord Jesus, and they had prearranged, and I had not seen their prearrangement. And then we finished our singing time with All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and how the men just were blessed, and the speaker got up and spoke about Jesus. How the Spirit of God dovetails everything together. We run a good race. We finish. We keep the faith. And there's a crown waiting for us. And for all those that long for his appearing, I challenge you with this word that Paul challenges Timothy with. Do you long? Do you really long for the appearing of Jesus? Do you? Let's pray together. thank you, Lord, so much for allowing us this privilege and joy. And now, as we love you a little more, we ask that we may draw closer, closer, Lord, to you now, for Jesus' sake. Amen.